Good morning, 810 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. So good to have you with us on this happy Monday. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, is on the phone with us. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Just a quick follow-up on pretty sad news that we talked about last week, but Sergeant Rickman, who had passed away, the funeral, that is today, is that right?
Yeah, today at 11 at Pace Assembly of God.
All right, and that is open to the public?
If we can fit them in there. Okay. I'm thinking we're going to have a packed house.
I gotcha. Yeah, which is very normal. And, you know, I'm sure a reminder to your folks how much our community supports you and everything that you do. And, you know, obviously in a sad moment, it still brings out some of the best response in people, right?
Yes, definitely.
You guys had an incident, I think, overnight or last night that was a kind of a domestic relationship-related kidnapping. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a guy who basically got in a domestic with his girlfriend and took the girlfriend's children and took off in a car. Our deputies found the car in another location empty, so they got the bloodhounds out, which, you know, our bloodhounds never miss. They tracked them to a house where we took the guy into custody and got the two kids back to their mom where they belong. So it was a good good bunch of police work from a good bunch of deputies and a couple of good bloodhounds.
Wow, that's really scary. Do we know kind of the circumstances of how it started? Like, you know, how did he come to be in custody of the kids in the first place, or do we know yet?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I just, from what I gathered, was he forcibly took the children.
Ugh.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, that sounds to me like something that's not very common, thank God, but I'm right about that, right? That's not very common, right?
Yeah, that's I've been sheriff since 2017. That's the first one I know of. So, yeah, it's not very common.
Wow, but what a scary thing for her to go through, obviously, and dealing with all of that. So, man, good police work. I'm glad that everybody is safe in the end, if maybe a little scared for the situation, but glad that that's not the case. I did want to ask you, the governor had vetoed a bill that I was surprised he vetoed, but then I read his explanation for it, and I get his explanation. It was the left lane driving bill.
Yeah.
And so as I understand it, currently in a 65 plus speed zone, you cannot impede traffic in the left-hand lane. So if people are trying to go 80 behind me and I'm only going 75, I got to get over. That's correct, right?
That is correct, yes. And, you know, he did veto that one. But like you said, we can still do the impeding traffic violation if we have to. And, you know, that's the thing I hear most about when I go around and I talk to people in Santa Rosa County. You know, they hate people in the left lane just sitting there, you know. And it's not just doing 75 and a 70. A lot of times you'll get somebody in there who's doing, you know, 45 and 55. Mm. And it gets frustrating and it looks like a funeral procession behind them. And we can still write a ticket for that. So the only time you're really supposed to be in the left lane is if you're passing or about to make a left-hand turn.
Yeah, and that's what the bill would have made it a crime, essentially, or a moving violation,
right?
Anyway, to be in the left-hand lane unless you were actively engaged in passing. I just know that a lot of times, like on I-10 particularly, and I know, you know, I think you guys help out on interstate policing, even though it's mostly FHP.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if only they made the right lane more drivable.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's frustrating for everybody. It really is. You've got people who are trying to do the right thing and maintain the speed limit or go a little under, because people don't realize when the speed limit is 70, that's the limit. It's not that you have to do 70. You can do 65 or 60. I think the minimum speed on the interstate is like 50. So, you know, it's just they think everybody should be doing a minimum of 70, which is, you know, not the case.
Now, sir, I have lived in Florida for 10 years, and I think that you must just be wrong about this, because everywhere I go, people treat it like a minimum. Are you sure that's the law?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's the law, and you are correct. Everybody treats it like it's the minimum, but no, it's actually the speed limit. Limit being that's the maximum you should be going.
I got it. Hey, last thing I did want to ask you about is, you know, I know we talk obviously every week with you and with Sheriff Simmons as well. Escambia County has recently changed their chase policy in the sense of, for a long time, you know, minor crimes were allowed to go, or, you know, stolen cars in particular might be allowed to go. But because stolen cars have become so affiliated with the drive-by shootings and gang violence and shootings in general. They're no longer doing that. They are chasing. I mean, obviously, forced felonies. Everybody always has chased those because that's you know, for obvious reasons. Have you guys changed your chase policy at all or your pit policy at all?
Yeah, I changed it when I got elected, though, so it's been in place for a while. Most of our guys and gals out there on the street are trained in pit, and we have, if you look at our cars now, all the cars you see out there, the marked vehicles, have those bumper guards around the front of them.
Right.
And that's exclusively for, you know, pitting vehicles. So our you know, policy basically states that if you're in a position where it's a stolen car or whatever, and you know they're probably going to run, to initially get up on them quick and pit them as quick as you can and put them in a ditch, and then we'll take care of the foot chase later.
Okay, so you guys had already been at that same level as the Escambia County Sheriff's Office is at now. Is that kind of what you think, your perception?
Yeah, but also, too, if they're not in a if they're not in a situation where they can pit, because people think, well, if you're training pit, you can pit them wherever. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you have to take into consideration the traffic around you, the speed. I mean, if you do a pit at 70 miles an hour, that's deadly force, because you put them in a ditch at 70 miles an hour and they're not wearing a seatbelt and go through the window, they're going to die. So it's still not on, you can't just pit people no matter what. And our thing is this, we don't have the drive-bys like they do in Escambia, thank goodness. So we don't deal with a lot of stolen vehicles. I would say we recover maybe 5 to 10 stolen vehicles in a month. Whereas in Escambia County, I'm sure it's a lot higher because they have a higher population. So, so we don't have to you know, deal with the drive-by shootings and stolen cars on the same level they do. So I understand Chip's reasoning behind, you know, what he's saying, because it definitely over there, I'm sure most drive-bys occur in stolen vehicles because people don't want them tracked back to them.
Right.
So it makes perfect sense, increasing your pit maneuvers and increasing the chases over there.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And that's helpful for context and thought and, you know, the situation-dependent judgment. So, Sheriff Bob Johnson, perfect. Thank you so much for answering questions, for always being here available for us and keeping us safe. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much, sir.
Yes, sir. Take care, Andrew. Bye-bye. Yeah.